Well, it's nice to be here in Bethany tonight. And it's always nice to be home, isn't it? And this is my home, you see. I've got a home in heaven as well. But this is my home whilst you're on earth. And we thank God for it. And for everybody who can say that, that Bethany is their spiritual home. Very grateful to John tonight for not abusing me like he usually does. I don't know why he managed to resist the temptation, but he did. And I'd like to thank Brian too for the message he gave us this morning. I'd also like to thank him for all the germs on the pulpit. And also thank him for the fact that he stole my message. The message, it's not identical, but it's very, very similar to the message Brian preached this morning. And Brian's message was, "Are we true disciples?" And Josh just came down earlier and he said, Andrew, he said, "What do you want the title of the message to be?" And I said, first of all, "Are we true disciples too?" And but I changed it. And I decided then that we'd quote the verse in John 8:13, which we're going to be looking at. And Jesus says, "Then are ye my disciples indeed." And the title of the message tonight is, "Are you my disciples indeed?" And the question comes to each one of us. We have professed salvation in the Lord Jesus Christ. It is possible that there's someone unsaved here tonight, but the majority of us have professed salvation in the Lord Jesus Christ. And he is asking each one of us, "Are you my disciples indeed?" And we will read, first of all, from Luke's Gospel. We'll start off on that account of Palm Sunday in Luke's Gospel and chapter 19. And everything has come together here today because Andrew was in Luke's Gospel chapter 19 this morning in the adult Sunday school. So Luke's Gospel and chapter 19. And starting to read at verse 28. "And when he had thus spoken," that's Jesus, "he went before, ascending up to Jerusalem. And it came to pass, when he was come nigh to Bethpage and Bethany, at the mount called the Mount of Olives, he sent two of his disciples, saying, Go ye into the village over against you, in the which at your entering ye shall find a colt tied, whereupon yet never man sat. Loose him, and bring him hither. And if any man ask you, Why do ye loose him? Thus shall ye say unto them, unto him, Because the Lord hath need of him. And they that were sent went their way, and found even as he had said unto them. And as they were loosing the colt, the owners thereof said unto them, Why loose ye the colt? And they said, The Lord hath need of him. And they brought him to Jesus, and they cast their garments upon the colt, and they set Jesus thereon, and as he went, they spread their clothes in the way. And when he was come nigh, even now at the descent of the Mount of Olives, the whole multitude of the disciples began to rejoice, and praise God with a loud voice for all the mighty works that they had seen, saying, Blessed be the King that cometh in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven, and glory in the highest. And some of the Pharisees from among the multitude said unto him, Master, rebuke thy disciples. And he answered and said unto them, I tell you, that if these should hold their peace, the stones should immediately cry out. And sure God will add his blessing to the reading of his word. Father, we praise thee again, that we are able to turn to thy word now, and to read it. And we pray that through thy Holy Spirit tonight, that thou wilt speak to our hearts, that we will realize that thou art God, and the one who we've just read about, we pray that we will realize too that he is the Savior of the world. We praise thee for all that you have done for us. We praise thee for thy salvation, our God and Father. We praise thee for our salvation, the salvation that we have through Jesus Christ our Lord. And we see in this portion of Scripture, we see that they would have made him king that day, but it wasn't to be, for his hour was not yet come. And as we look at this passage of Scripture, our God and Father, we pray that we will see in it thyself and thy Son in all his glory. For we ask it in his name. Amen. So we see this account of this day when they would have made Jesus king. They wanted him to be king. They worshipped him. There are four different accounts of this message in the Gospels. We've got it in Luke chapter 19. If you want to make a note of them, and you can look at them after, and you can compare them. They're very, very similar. But we've got Luke 19, we've got Matthew 21, Mark 11, and John's Gospel, and chapter 12. Very, very short accounts. And they all say basically the same thing. But in some of the other accounts, it tells us that they shouted, "Hosanna, Hosanna." And that word means, "Lord, save." And he could save himself. The Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost. That's why he had come. But to do that, he had to go to the place called Calvary. And he was looking forward from this day to a few days hence when he would go to the cross. And he knew that that is what he had to do, because that was the will of his Father God, that he should go to Calvary and there pay for our sin upon the tree. So it says, "Hosanna, Lord, save." But they wanted him to be king. But it wasn't for him to be king at this time. Even after the cross, he wasn't to be king. But one day, he is to be King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And as we look back through history and through our Bibles, we know that he is the one who created all things by the word of his power. So he was the king of all creation. And even whilst here on earth, he never ceased to be what he always and ever was, the eternal Son of the eternal God. And he was king from the beginning, because he was born king. Not born to be king, but born king. And Brian spoke, and I intended to speak as well, about these people who threw their coats in front of him and threw palm leaves in front of him and parts of the trees, and they hailed him, "Hosanna." They hailed him as the king. And when Brian spoke this morning, he spoke about the fickleness of some of the crowd. And I intended to speak about it too. And I looked up the word "fickle" this afternoon in a dictionary. It's an unusual word, isn't it? Not easy to explain. But it means to be inconsistent. It means to be variable. It means to be changeable, especially in relation to our loyalty. And many of the people who hailed Jesus as king that day were fickle. And we know that when he went to the cross just a few days later, where were these people then? It was a multitude, we are told in this passage. I think it's in Matthew's gospel. It says a great multitude. So there were many of them. But where were they when Jesus was taken to the cross? When Jesus went to Calvary, we read, they all forsook him and fled. And apart from maybe a few who hid in the shadows, they didn't make themselves known that day. They were not calling for him to be king then. But the fickleness of the human heart is recorded right the way through God's word. We can see it on many pages of this book. The fickleness of man, especially in relation to God. I want to turn over now to a different portion of God's word, because like Brian this morning, I didn't particularly want to say too much about Palm Sunday, but we will come back to it later on. And if you turn to John's Gospel and chapter 8, it's a passage that we've looked at before, and you see another multitude, another crowd, and another crowd that is of the same mind in many ways. And it's John chapter 8, sorry. John chapter 8 and verse 30. And it says this. It's Jesus speaking again. And as Jesus spoke these words, many believed on him. Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, "If ye continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed." And that's our text for tonight. Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, "If ye continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed. And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." They answered him, "We be Abram's seed, and were never in bondage to any man. How sayest thou, ye shall be made free?" Jesus answered them, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, whosoever committeth sin is the servant of sin. And the servant abideth not in the house forever, but the Son abideth ever. If the Son therefore shall make you free, you shall be free indeed. I know that ye are Abram's seed, but ye seek to kill me, because my word hath no place in you. I speak that which I have seen with my Father, and ye do that which ye have seen with your father." They answered and said unto him, "Abram is our father." Jesus saith unto them, "If ye were Abraham's children, ye would do the works of Abraham. But now ye seek to kill me, a man that hath told you the truth, which I have heard of God. This did not Abraham. Ye do the deeds of your father." Then said they to him, "We be not born of fornication. We have one Father, even God." Jesus said unto them, "If God were your Father, ye would love me. For I proceedeth forth and came from God. Neither came I of myself, but he sent me. Why do ye not understand my speech? Even because ye cannot hear my word. Ye are of your father the devil, and the lusts of your father ye will do. He was a murderer from the beginning, and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar, and the father of it. And because I tell you the truth, ye believe me not." So we started off in verse 30, and it said, as he spake these words, many believed on him. Now don't get the wrong idea tonight. If we believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, we shall be saved. And we cannot be saved and lost. It's an impossibility. Our salvation is secure in the Lord Jesus Christ as long as we are true believers. But these people here, it says they believed, so they were believers. They believed in some of the things that the Lord Jesus Christ had done, and they were followers of Christ after a fashion. But how can it then say, "And because I tell you the truth, ye believe me not"? He's speaking to the same group of people. And they believed, but they didn't believe. And our text tonight is that verse, verse 31. Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him. So he said it twice. They believed on him. "If ye continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed." Continuing in his word is the answer. "Then are ye my disciples indeed." You see, that word "indeed," why is it at the end of the sentence? "If ye continue in my word, then are ye my disciples." Doesn't really need the word "indeed." The word "indeed" presupposes that there is some other kind of disciple, a different kind of disciple. "If ye continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed." And there are many different kinds of disciples, and we know that. There are part-time disciples. We've come into the Easter season, and we will see more people in church. Not just this church. Every church in the valleys will see more people come, because it is Easter Sunday next week. We see Christmas disciples, those who come for the Christmas cantata. We see seasonal disciples. And then we see those who come when they feel like it. Some who come on special occasions. And very often, we see very many people who can be religious in certain circumstances when the circumstance demands it. Our royalty is a little bit like that, isn't it? We see our royalty turn up for religious occasions, and they can look most pious and most circumspect, but only in certain circumstances. So we can have part-time disciples, those who are part-time disciples for the Lord Jesus Christ. We can have semi-disciples, half-disciples. We can allow God to bother us on certain occasions and on certain issues, but not on others. We can ignore him on other occasions. And we can obey him in some areas of our lives, but willingly disobey him in other areas of our lives. So we've got part-time disciples. We've got semi-disciples. We can also have short-term disciples. Those who make a profession of faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, but they always leave a way out. They always leave a door of escape. Okay, we'll go in for this religion stuff for just a little bit, or just a short time. We'll see how it goes. But there's always an exit door. Short-term disciples. They never burn their bridges behind them. They never reach the point of no return. I believe truly that a Christian is a disciple indeed when they have reached the point of no return. There's a chorus we sing, or a hymn we sing, isn't it? No turning back. And are we on that road so far that we are not turning back? Whatever happens, we are disciples indeed of the Lord Jesus Christ. There's another kind of disciple too. There's a chameleon disciple, one who changes his colour depending on the religious crowd. So wherever he is, he can change his attitude and change his whole persona, change his colour depending on who he is with. And we, as a church, we cannot fluctuate to take account of the chameleon Christian. We must be straight up and down with the Word of God and the truth of God's Word. And that's what we read in this passage, isn't it? Let's turn to one of the verses a second. Verse 32. And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. And this book is truth. And the Lord Jesus Christ was talking to this crowd, this multitude, and he was speaking truth. They didn't want to know the truth. What they wanted was to have their ears tickled. But we, tonight, by the grace of God, we can know the truth, and the truth can make us free. Jesus could say in John 14 and verse 6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Now, there's not 10 different kinds of truth. There's not 20 different kinds of truth. There is just one God and one Christ and one Word of God. Not more than one, just that. And he said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. And this is what he was explaining to these people this day, that he was the eternal Son of God, and that they could not know the Father without him. Do we know the Lord Jesus Christ tonight as our Saviour? Is there just one, maybe, or maybe more than one, who has never come to Christ for salvation, who has never realised their need of a Saviour? The Word of God says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And we might have been in church for many years. We might have been in church for a short time. We might have been in church for many, many years. And yet, the things of God have never really bothered us. There are many religious people in the world today, but they do not know Christ as their Saviour. They've never realised fully that they stand before God in their sin, and that they need salvation. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. What kind of disciple are we? Are we a part-time disciple? Are we a semi-disciple? we a short-term disciple? Are we a chameleon disciple? Or are we, with the words of Brian's message this morning, are we true disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ? Do we know him as our Saviour? And does our life revolve around him? Is he the centre? Is he the centre of our world? Is he the centre of our being? And as we look down this passage, we see that Jesus is speaking the truth, but we see that they didn't really want the truth. And when he digs under these people, he is so straight in the way that he speaks to them. Jesus answered them, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, whosoever committeth sin is the servant of sin." Verse 36, "If the Son therefore shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed." And he was offering to these people this day freedom, and freedom by means of the truth. He was telling them the truth. And he says to them, "I know that ye are Abraham's seed." The people he was speaking to, we know, were Jews. They were Abraham's seed. He says, "But ye seek to kill me." How did he know that they sought to kill him? They hadn't said that they wanted to kill him. But he perceived that they wanted to kill him. And he wasn't wrong, was he? He could see the beginning from the end and the end from the beginning. "Ye seek to kill me because my word hath no place in you." And if we go back to our text, verse 31, it says, "Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, If ye continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed." So what separates us from a disciple indeed and a disciple? The thing that separates us is God's word. And the Lord Jesus Christ, the name of Jesus, is synonymous with the word of God. And the word of God is synonymous with the Lord Jesus. And if we've believed on him, we will continue in his word. And then we will be his disciples indeed. And then we will know the truth, and the truth will make us forever free. He says, verse 40, "But now ye seek to kill me, a man that hath told you the truth, which I have heard of God. This did not Abraham. Ye do the deeds of your father." Then said they to him, "We be not born of fornication. We have one father, even God." But Jesus said to them, "If God were your father, ye would love me. For I proceeded forth and came from God. Neither came I of myself, but God sent me. Why do you not understand my speech? Even because you cannot hear my word." He was speaking to them. Physically, they could hear his word, but his word was not penetrating their heart. And there are people in churches up and down South Wales tonight who've heard the word of God maybe on many occasions, but it has never reached their heart. So Jesus, he looks at these people. He says, "Ye are of your father the devil, and the lusts of your father ye will do." He could perceive what was in their hearts. He perceived that they were of their father the devil. He perceived that they wanted to kill him. And yet, he could say to them, which believed on him, "If ye continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed." And he was calling upon them to continue in his word. And whenever we read of a multitude or a crowd, we read that some of them believed and some of them didn't. And that is true in every gathering where God's word is preached. Some of them will believe that word and some of them won't. And some of them go away and ponder the word and rely upon the word, and others choose willingly and willfully to ignore it. But God is quite clear that if we As Christians, if we've trusted Christ as our Saviour and we've believed on him, if we continue in his word, then we are his disciples indeed. We've got just a few questions to ask. And the questions are this. Are we being true disciples? Are we being true disciples in the manner in which the Lord Jesus Christ was talking about in this chapter? Are we obeying the truth as revealed in the word of God? And finally, are we enjoying the benefits of the true freedom that's only to be found in the Lord Jesus Christ? Now, Andrew in his prayer mentioned Philippians chapter 2, I believe. And Brian mentioned it in his message this morning. And I think as we close, we'll turn to it. And we'll see in Philippians chapter 2, a well-known portion of God's word, we'll see in it the life of the Lord Jesus Christ on this earth from start to finish. So Philippians chapter 2 and verse 5. It says this, "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but he made himself of no reputation, and took upon himself the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. Being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself, and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him, and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven, and things in earth, and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father." And two of our hymns tonight were speaking about that, that we should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. And there's coming a day when every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that he is Lord, to God's glory. But we have the opportunity tonight, while we're still in this day of grace, and while there is still time, we have the opportunity to trust Christ as our Saviour, to know him as our very own, and we know that we will have an inheritance incorruptible, undefiled, that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for us and for all those who believed. But in this little portion of God's word, we see the Lord Jesus Christ in his life, from his incarnation right through to his exaltation in those days. And he says this, "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus." What was the mind that was in Christ Jesus? The mind that he had was a mind of obedience and a mind of humility before his Father God. And he humbled himself. And he made himself obedient unto death, and that such a death as a cross. We've covered a lot of ground tonight. We've seen Palm Sunday, and we've looked forward to the cross. The Lord Jesus Christ looked forward to the cross. He came to do his Father's will, the will of him that sent him. And there, in these verses, we see that he goes to the cross. "Let this mind," he says, this is Paul speaking, of course, "let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus." If we had the mind that was in Christ Jesus, then truly we would be disciples indeed. So are we this evening disciples indeed? Are we, as Brian said, are we true disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ? For if we believe the truth and if we follow the truth, he says, "Then are ye my disciples indeed." It's all found in this book that we have in our hands, isn't it? "If ye continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed." Let's be disciples indeed and realize what we need to do. We need to read this book. We need to hear the word of God. We need to hear the words of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we need to imprint them upon our heart. So God will add his blessing to the reading of his word and to the message tonight. Praise God for the fact that tonight and today we have been in his presence, and we pray that he has spoken to some heart here tonight. Our God and our Father, we praise thee again for the words that we have read, and we pray that you will speak to each heart, and that you will speak so that we understand, our God and Father. We pray again that we can thank thee for thy word tonight. And we realize that we need to be the disciples that you would have us to be. And the disciples you would have us to be are disciples indeed. We commit thy word into thy hand, our God. We thank thee that we've been able to sing thy praise. And we pray that we will realize and see the truth, and the truth will set us free. We ask thy blessing upon each one gathered here, and upon each one sitting in their seat tonight, that by thy Holy Spirit, our God, you will speak to us. And if there is anyone who has never trusted Christ as Saviour, raise questions, our God, in their heart, we pray. Convict and convince by thy Holy Spirit of sin and of righteousness and judgment that is to come, that someone here tonight might come to know the Lord Jesus Christ as Saviour. For we ask it in his name and for his glory. Amen. Amen. Now we'll close by singing number 194, please. 194. One day when heaven was filled with his praises, one day when sin was as black as could be, Jesus came forth to be born of a virgin, dwelt amongst men. My example is he. Living, he loved me. Dying, he saved me. Buried, he carried my sins far away. Rising, he justified freely forever. And one day he's coming. Oh, glorious day.
Perhaps Carl would close with a word of prayer.